Everyone standing. Father God, I bless you. Father God, I thank you. God, I bless you and I thank you because there's none like you. There's none like you, Lord. God, I thank you for life, health, and for strength. Activity of our limbs and keeping us in our right mind. God, for if it had not been for the Lord on our side. Now, God, anoint this vessel of clay. Speak a word, God. A word that will mend the brokenhearted. Lift up the hung down head. A word, God, that will allow you to have your way in this place. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh. And God will glorify you, thank you, and obey your word. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, give the Lord some praise all over this building. Hallelujah. While you're standing, turn, if you will, to the book of Joshua, the 10th chapter. It's an honor to stand before God's people. It's an honor to be in God's house. It's an honor to do His will. Amen. It's truly an honor to speak a word to God's people, for there's no greater people than the people of God. Word said how beautiful are the feet of them, amen, that carry the gospel. And you know what the word lets me know? That his people is just something special. He called you heirs. He called you friends. Amen. He gave us a name above all name, that at that name, demons have to fear. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for, amen, our associate pastors, Elder Lawrence and Diane White. I thank God for Superintendent Mark A. Jones and his wife, Sister Deborah Jones. Amen. They'll be celebrating their first year. Amen. 1 year. Amen. Amen. 1 year. Well, God have mercy. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you how this thing goes. Amen. I don't know about how theirs is going, but I remember her saying 1 year. I don't think we're going to make two. And that went on until about 20. But God's grace. If it had not been, after a while, she just got tired of telling me she don't think. Now she's just looking forward. Amen. She's forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for her. Amen. Y'all give First Lady a good God bless you. Thank God for all the mothers in Zion. Mother McCullum, Mother Whitehead, amen. Mother Cardwell, thank God for Mother Webb and for Mother Reeves. I thank God for all the mothers in Zion. Listen, and Mother Coleman, I ain't forgot you there. Amen. Amen. She is the eldest of all mothers. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The brothers, too. She older than all of us, but that's all right. Praise God for her. Truly, I am honored to be here, honored to stand before you. If you have the 10th chapter of Joshua, amen. The Bible says, starting at the 24th and the 25th verse, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Then, if you will, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 2nd chapter and the 24th verse. Amen. It should be up on your screen there. The Bible says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. You may be seated. On your way down, tell somebody what you gonna do about it. Yeah. I know y'all been through some stuff, and you know there's been some people in your life that have done things to you, and when you questioned them about it, their answer was, what you going to do about it? But it's my job to explain to you that you should be the one telling the devil what you going to do about it. But because you haven't started doing that, I'm going to tell you, I want to know what you going to do about it. You know, there was a young man who used to tell me, and if I don't? And then finally, you know, our friendship got to that point where I had to double leg him. And I think I invented ground and pound. I invented taking folks down, punching them. Because, you know, it's popular now. But I've been doing it a long time. And you know, after a while of, and if I don't, I didn't let him get the don't out. And if, boom. That's how you do this thing. And you got to start attacking the devil the same way. It's too much mess going on and too much stuff going on in our homes, at our jobs, and our next door neighbors, folks just talking condescendingly to you, acting like you're a nobody. But the word says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 2nd chapter, I'm going to read this out of a different version, the basic Bible English translation, just in case you didn't understand what he said. He said, get up now and go on your journey, crossing over the valley of Arnon. See, I have given into your hands Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and all his land. Go forward to make it yours and make war with him. Let's jump to the book of Luke right quick. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This verse tells us something. You have to go after it. You have to go after it. You have to engage the enemy in battle because the door of opportunity is marked push or pull. Are you listening to me? The door of opportunity don't say open. It's not an automatic door. You're not going to a grocery store, but opportunity has something that either you're going to have to pull it open or kick it down. Fact of the matter is, too long we've been going through automated doors that just open. But the Bible at least says knock. Don't just stand out there waiting. I'm just going to sit here, and eventually it'll open, and you might get shot waiting outside, but you better knock. Even Jesus himself said, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Then he said, you must do the treading yourself over the scorpions and the serpents. He said, I give you the power, but you got to do the treading. Some of us have this messed up delusional thing inside of us that makes us feel like stuff's just supposed to rain down on us. Bread of heaven. Well, you'll be hungry. Lest you just want more of his spirit. Lest you just want some more Holy Ghost. But if you're hungry, you can't wait on the bread of heaven. You better get out here. And do what it takes. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, tells us, and the 3rd through the 5th verse, he tells us that we have weapons of warfare that are mighty, given to us by God. With these weapons, we can pull down strongholds. With these weapons, we can cast down imagination or anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. But you got to pull it down. That's what the Bible says. You got to cast down every imagination. Some of us just let the devil run free in our mind. Instead of telling the enemy, get thee behind, we just invite these thoughts. When you think that something is going in your mind that you don't want there, you better start casting it down. Stop letting your mind just be the playground for all type devil men. Start telling yourself who you are and what God brought you to this earth to be. When you got born again, you got a whole new residence, a whole new state of being. And with that comes a whole new mind. That's why you got to renew your mind. You've been practicing sin 30, 40 years. You might want to try renewing your mind because sin has a way of chasing you down. Let me make this plain to you. Sin has a way, and God always protects his people, but you got to want to be protected. The Bible said when the children of Israel, when they were crossing the Red Sea, that the pillar of fire and the cloud went from in front of them to behind them. Why? So the enemies couldn't see them. So the enemies couldn't see them walking on through. So the enemies couldn't catch up with them. So your ex can't catch up to you. So your past, are you listening? So the things that you used to be linked to. So he moved behind them. But when they got to the other side, when the cloud left, you can't be entertaining your ex. You might want to throw the Rolodex out. Oh, I know y'all, some of you kids, what's a Rolodex? You might want to throw that old phone out with everybody's number. You might want to do a factory reset. I know these kids like Rolodex. What is this thing that he speaks? Almost like a shut-in. Some folks don't even know what a shut-in. Did Pastor lose his mind? What's a shut-in? We ain't in prison. Where the Spirit of Lord is, there's liberty. In our text, Joshua said to his captains, who were representatives of the whole nation of Israel, you see these kings under your feet? God will give you this kind of victory over every enemy that we fight. Again, we see God has promised the victory, but it is dependent upon action on your part. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Y'all know that song. I told Satan, get thee behind. Look here. At least they told him something. You got to be willing to fight. Engage yourself. I'm reminded of the great walls that surrounded the city of Jericho in Joshua the chapter 6. God promised Joshua and the children of Israel that he would give them the city. But they had to march. And they had to be quiet. They had to march. And they had to be quiet. But the city was already promised to them. Some of us have been promised things by God. But instead of doing and shutting up, we talking and sitting down. I ain't gonna hit you that much. So, and not after that, they had to blow their trumpets and shout a victory shout. Now, that ain't a big problem. We scream and yell victory up in here. We get a little loud. We get, you know, we get a little boisterous around here. I ain't got, you know, some of y'all don't mind praising God. But I believe one of the greatest problems we have in the church today is many people are not properly trained and equipped to engage the enemy in battle. I say that not because they have not been told or taught, but because so many today are unwilling to embrace the mindset of the warrior God saved you to be. Some of us feel like I found Jesus and I'm satisfied. I got Jesus, and long as I got King Jesus. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, a lot of us are satisfied with the father-son relationship. God, you my father, I'm your son, and you're supposed to take care of me. God, you my father, I'm your son, and you're supposed to take care of me. And you know what? That's absolutely true. And what a privilege it is to have such a wonderful relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we're not talking about waiting on Daddy God to do everything and give us everything. We're talking about the fact that there is a devil who hates us, who has a host of demons at his disposal and absolutely set against the child of God and who wants to destroy us. We're also talking about the fact that we're supposed to be walking in Jesus' footsteps, doing the same thing, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, preaching deliverance to the captive, and setting the people free of the devil's power. Daddy God, let me show you how he works. He gave them power. Let me show you how this thing went. The disciples was having such a good time casting out devils and healing the sick that one day they got together and they was bragging. Man, even the demons tremble when we show up. We casting out devils doing this thing. You know why? Because they was with Jesus. It got good to them. Let me tell you, if you start doing what God tell you to do, it'll get good to you too. The Bible declared in Mark 16, 17, and 18, these signs shall follow them that believe. No, it said these signs shall follow the missionary. That what it said? No, it said these signs shall follow the mother. That what it said? No, these signs shall follow the deacon. No, it said these signs shall follow the superintendent. It must have said these signs shall follow the great man of God right here, right? Now I said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out. It didn't say in my name shall he. It said shall they cast out devils. You got to catch this, because the devil wants you not to know who you are and what you was built for. Devil don't want you to realize what you really designed to do. It said they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. What you say? Lay hands on the sick. How many times have I been called to do something that you already got the power to do? Not that I mind. You know, I ain't got a problem with it. But what I'm saying is, sometime you ought to at least try it, see if it work. You ought to at least give God an opportunity to be a channel of blessing through you. That is why we must do as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We understand from the scripture that the child of God is not supposed to lose in life. That the child of God is not supposed to lose in life. Where you get that from? Well, 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Causes us always to triumph. But you got to at least be in the fight to win the fight. There is no such thing in the spiritual realm of the art of fighting without fighting. There is no Jedi mind game that'll make the devil leave you alone. There is no I outthought him. You don't get to talk your way out of this. Listen, when I was down in Oklahoma, my brother came to visit me. And I had a roommate, little skinny, little small fella, but he was 6 foot tall. But the one thing about him is, while other folks was talking, he was swinging. The one thing about him was he didn't give you a chance to find out how tough he was. He was already on you. Soon as a little fear rose up in him, punches come out of him. So me and my brother stirred up some stuff. But me and my roommate, I'm trying to be a diplomat. I'm trying to talk. And while I was talking, the guy hit me. I didn't start it. I didn't encourage it. I was trying to talk my way out. But it's time to stop talking and start walking. It's time. So when I looked over, I get hit, but my roommate already done engaged. The reason the guy hit me is because my roommate had already hit his friend. Because it ain't no talking. Ain't nothing to talk about. Talking over. Jesus said, it is written. It's already been written. It's been prescripted that we win, but only when we fight. My intent for this message is to stir up the warrior in you. I want you to realize you are more than a conqueror. I want you to recognize that greater is he that's in thee than he that's in the world. I want you to get mad at everything the devil has done to you, however many years you've been on this life, earth. I want you to get angry with how the devil has come against your ministry and come against your finances and come against your marriage and come against your children and come against anything that affects you. You got to start getting angry about some of this stuff and stop worrying about it and start to come to the place where I'm about to fight my way out of this. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. Every kid that's ever been on my wrestling team know one thing. Before they go out there, we don't grab it, we take it. Out there, everything you can't take, you don't ask for. That's just the bottom line. Out there, we ain't reaching for it, we taking it. And if you got that mindset, you know that you're going to give it everything you got every time you try anything. All right? Now, sick them. Mr. Jones, I'm not a dog. You are now. Sick them. So, I want you to get mad at everything. How in the world do we send our children to these schools where they come home with confusion? Yesterday, we at the stoplight, me and my wife, Two young ladies walk by, they holding hands. My wife say, I don't know if they friends. I'm like, please. Do you know what day and age we live in? This is not the 60s. You know what they into. I said, you may not know. No, they just might be buddies. You must think we playing with a play devil. You must think that he got a red tail and a pitchfork and some horns coming out his head. Wrong! He got the spirit of all type ungodliness, and he's impertinent to anybody that's willing to accept it. He'll give it to your children if you let him. But if you get angry enough, you'll bind that spirit and cast it out your home. So I want you to realize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that the word of God, that you have the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Somebody tell your neighbor, you anointed. Do you know who you are? You anointed. Why? How you going to say I'm anointed? Why? If you got saved, if you believe God's word, all you got to believe is that the devil is substandard now. And if you believe that, you'll fight like that. Nobody's scared. Look, the big greatest thing that ever happened to me when I was in the North Suburban Conference is they say we was going to Lake Forest. I was thinking, them little pansies got it coming tonight. Little rich kid, I'm going to peel meat. Why? Because I live on Hervey, and I want to live over there. So I'm going to treat you. Y'all better ask somebody. Lake Zurich, thank you, Jesus. Mundelein, I can't wait to get there. I just want to express myself. And so when you get that mindset that God is your father and that he promised you some things, he didn't say that it was going to be easy, but he did say you was going to win the fight. Who cares if they got two black eyes? I'm just saying. I'm looking at these guys, and they got speed knots on their head, mini-me on the other side, eyes about closed, but the ref raised their hand, and all of a sudden they get a renewed anointing. I like to thank the Lord. If without this, it wouldn't be possible. He about to pass out and die, but he's still thanking his grandmama and his trainer, and because he won. And Paul said, no man that warreth. No man that warreth. You can't be looking back at what used to be and how it used to be, but you got to have the attitude that God changed me to look forward, and forward is where I'm going to get my blessing. My blessing ain't behind nowhere but the gates of hell. And guess what? The word said that it will not prevail. Do y'all know that if you're willing to attack the devil upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gate is to keep you out. But do you realize that, you know, your children might be on the other side of that gate? You got to be willing to open it, kick it down, climb it, do what you got to do to get what God gave you back. That's what he said. That's what he told me. So if you're telling yourself, you anointed. The Bible said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same anointing that was on Jesus Christ is on me. Where you get that from, Pastor? Acts 10 and 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. 1 John says in the second chapter in the 20th verse, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Do you not know God will give you the instructions on how to get through and get and beat the devil all upside the head and keep moving? People, you got to come to the grips about that. What you going to do about it? the spirit we up against. They do whatever they want. They advertise whatever they want. Do you not know the Bible says that God hates pride? So guess what's going on right now? A parade? I just got to. I'm glad it was what he told me, too. Somebody told me today they got a pride basketball team. See, that's why we called them glory boys when we was kids. You could have a Jerry curl and play basketball. You could have a perm and play basketball. But the word said, for we wrestle. You can't have no Jerry curl on the mat. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, there ain't no sissies neither, principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. In other words, it ain't going to be no easy match, but at the end of the match, you prevail. What you going to do about it? Second Corinthians 1 and 21, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in God. The devil is like a bully that mess with you until you get tired of getting messed with. The devil, the scripture said he's like a roaring lion. Didn't say he was one, because we are under the lion of the tribe of Judah. It didn't say he was a lion. It said he like a lion. And you got to understand how lions operate, especially the male lions. They don't even hunt. Y'all know that? The male lion just sit at home in his den, maxing, and he's sending the females out to hunt. But every now and then, when the females be taking a little too long with lunch, he roar. He put his head to the ground, and he roar. And it's so loud and so powerful that it scared the little rabbits out the hole. And when they come out the hole, the women pounce on them. I know y'all been watching The Lion King with Mustafa and his little son out hunting. That ain't the truth. So the scriptures say he like a roaring lion. So he putting his head on the ground, roar, and got skanks. Ah, Pastor, pray for me. Ah, Superintendent, pray for me. And Pastor, would you please say a little prayer for me? But he like a roaring lion. In other words, he's a bluffer. He got you scared at nothing. It's almost like a little cat in a lion suit with a megaphone. Roar! Oh, Lord, what am I do next? My rent due, telephone due, baby need new pair of shoes. But it's scripture just says he's like one. But he's like the bully. You know, these kids ain't going to understand this, but when I was a kid, they used to have those comic books. And, you know, comic books had, like, a little cartoon section in the back. I know they was already cartoon. But they had, and, you know, it was this guy. He on the beach, little skinny guy, about the size I was, before God blessed me with a wife that fed me, you know, and got me overweight. You know what I'm saying? Got me on water and not eating meat, and it ain't working. But there's a little skinny guy, and he walking down there with his girlfriend, and then the bully come, kick sand on him, take his girl, and walk away. Yeah, y'all seen that? And then you go down to the next line, and the dude crying, and the next day the dude walk by with his girlfriend. But then he opened this book and saw Charles Atlas lifting weights. He go home, he start training. And you know, the bully, he wondering where this guy at. I haven't had his girl too long. I'm looking for somebody else's girl. But what happens is, while the bully is out having a good time, the little guy who's been getting sand kicked in his face is at home training. Now while he's training, finally, one day while training and drinking milk, He shows back up to the beach, tired that some other guy got his girlfriend, and tired of having sand kicked in his face. He walks up to the guy, and instead of being skinny and scared, now he's built and bad. And he kicks sand in his face, take his girlfriend back, and walk away. And the bully's sitting there like, man, so that's what happened to the skinny guy. Do you know that the enemy operates on the same premise? He wants to bully you only because he know you ain't read in the Bible that you fearfully and wonderfully made. The only way the enemy can push you around is because he know you ain't been studying. You ain't been fasting. You ain't been praying. You ain't been giving God the praise he deserves. So when the enemy comes in, like a flood, instead of the standard being lifted up, we run. But the enemy is like a roaring lion. And it's too long we've been getting pushed around with some like a. Some like a. Well, I ain't really bad, but I'm something like I'm bad. No, saints can't be pushed around with something like bad. If it ain't showing up for real, an archangel, you shouldn't be having all these problems. Are you with me? So, what made the difference? Finally, when you start to exercise your faith, finally, when the saint of God start to exercise his faith, when you got to start somewhere. That instead of, I don't care if you call me about something big, but when you get a headache, lay hands on yourself. Tell yourself, this got to go. I'm God's child. And he said, he gives seed to the sower. He said, he's a healer. Yeah. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I sent my son to heal your disease. Yeah. He said it. Start somewhere. Don't take the aspirin. Tell yourself, God, you said you're my healer. And then once you graduate from there, go up higher. Keep trying. See, y'all got to give God an opportunity to show himself magnanimous in your life. You got to start doing stuff that you're not qualified for. Just go in and tell the boss, I can do that. Now, the fact of the matter is, the word says I can do all things through. So you got to come to grips with it. So since you can do it through Christ, now go home and start reading about it. Some of y'all watched that movie where those ladies was working for NASA. Look here, she had the right spirit. She might have had a little Larson in her heart, but she went to the library and got her a book on cobalt. Now, the average person would have just sat around, well, we ain't going to be nothing, ain't got nothing. No, I'm going to go and I'm going to find out what, and I'm going to make myself indispensable. And when everybody else getting laid off, I know how to do that, boss. I know how to do that for half of what you was paying him because it's still double of what you getting. Hey, I just went in. The guy, when I first got out the Air Force, I just went in and talked to this guy from Comcast. And before I left his desk, I was an engineer. And I'm in the room with all these guys with degrees. How you get in here? I know how. Because I've been fasting and praying and asking God for something above because it's the power of God. It ain't got nothing to do with me. But don't get the wrong impression. I was at home trying to figure out. Now, I know I did this before. It cost me more than I really wanted to pay, but I got it. And folks, And you know what? My boss even said, I don't know why I hired you. I don't even like your cousin. Because Johnny was working. I don't even like your cousin. I don't know why I listened to him. I know why. Because the heart of the king is in God's hand. Some of y'all better start operating like you a member. Like you done did more than ice skated down the aisle and shook hands with the polar bear in the pulpit. Some of us better start acting like we really got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that because we are his children, there are benefits that's linked to being his son.
Now are we his sons. And it may not appear what we ought to be, but we know that when he appears, do you know who you are? Man. You know, the reason I used to didn't like Lake Forest, because them kids didn't own nothing, but they act like they owned everything. It was their daddy's car, their daddy's house, because my son don't own my house. He may get it when I'm worm bait or something, but not today. And they just as arrogant and snooty. But when you get on that mat, put the clock on them. You got to ask yourself then. That's where you find out who you really are. When you in a test or a trial. See, test's going to let you know what you know, but trial's going to let you know who you are. See, a test will tell you exactly what you know inside, but a trial is going to let you know what you're made of. A trial going to let you know, as long as you're going through the trial, you all right. But when you stop and start throwing pity parties in the middle of it, because David said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David, you stop all these pit stops. Nothing will change your circumstances until you change. Nothing will change your circumstances until you change. Y'all often heard me say this, that I used to pray, God, change my wife. And God would answer immediately. I kept seeing myself, and I like looking at myself. I ain't got no problem with that. The mirror is my friend. Don't bother me. Sometimes my wife say, do you see how you look? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Make me hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy of all the praise. You know, it don't bother me. But every time I would ask him, God, you need to change my wife. I kept seeing myself. I'm like, so I'm ignorant. I go to Dr. Sproul. Hey, man, look, man, I've been asking God to change my wife. And he started laughing. He started cracking up. And he said, well, what has God said? I said, I keep seeing myself. Then he really started laughing. I said, well, this is not a matter laughable. Pastor, what's wrong with you? He said, it'll never change till you change. He said, and the fact of the matter, you change yourself and all the changes you're looking for, they'll come right with it. I said, you sure about this? You know, why would I believe him? He ain't but a year older than me, but he doctor. But, you know, he said, do you see me praying, asking God to change my wife? He said, it don't work. You got to change. And when you change, they follow. You the priest of your home. You the in charge. You the head. You set the atmosphere. You the man. Remember? Hey. He said, hey, if you stand up and be the man, she'll follow. So I stopped praying that. I just, hey, I you know what, but I'm crazy enough to try this stuff. You know, you'll never grow old with someone being foolish. So you have to decide to be the man of God or the woman of God that he destined you to be. You have to decide to discipline yourself to the word of God and to fasting and to prayer. You don't like your circumstance you're dealing with? You don't like the way where life has you? I ask you the question, what you gonna do about it? You don't like where you sitting right now? What you gonna do about it? You don't like what you're getting? What you gonna do about it? You don't like your prayer life? What you gonna do about it? You don't like how often or unoften you or inoften you read your word? What you gonna do about it? You don't like headaches? What you going to do about it? You don't like the atmosphere at your job? What you going to do about it? The word say you the salt of the earth. You flavor the room. What you going to do about it? Yeah, I that's why I'm so glad we done got educated and they stopped calling it testimony service and start calling it praise reports. Because folks tell you about all the tests they going through. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear nobody telling me about how they got beat by the devil all day. Because if it happened, it's because you let it happen. Stand up and fight. Bullies only bully people that don't fight. See, I know y'all say, well, you had four brothers. You right. So I didn't go through bullying. I was like almost in the middle. You know, it was too many of us. And I'm a Coburn, you know. So it was about 15 of us at school at once. So even if you did try to bully me, you found out real quick that, there was some problems connected with that. But they couldn't follow me everywhere. And eventually, you're going to have to stand up and put in a word for your sponsor. If God save you, you're going to have to show some backbone. You're going to have to act like you know who you are. There was a man who was bedridden. There was a man who, he was trapped in his bed. He couldn't get out of his bed, but he had some friends. That's why you got to be careful who you hang out with. Everybody don't mean you right. Everybody don't want to see you blessed. But they wanted to see him blessed so bad that they was willing to take him to the top of somebody's roof, tear off the roof, and lower him down. Now, I know it cost them some money because it sure would have cost you some money if you tore a hole in my roof. Amen. I don't care if you was lowering Mark down. You see where I'm coming from. So these friends meant him good. They loved him enough that they was willing to do the extra thing that it takes. And you got to learn how to surround yourself around people that has a prayer life that's willing to get to Jesus on your behalf. When you can't get there, you got to have a friend that can get there, a mother that can get there, a brother that can get there, a sister that can get there. Somebody got to be in your sphere of influence that know Jesus. Personally, can speed dial him. You don't need nobody to have to Facebook. Can you send Jesus a message on Facebook for me? Because I ain't been able to reach him in. Can you I am him, please, sir? But they lowered him down. And then there was a woman, and she had some real problems. The Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was possessed with the devil. Now, some of us, we suspect they possessed, but she knew her daughter was possessed. And Jesus, she was trying to get to Jesus, but his disciples intercepted her and said, Lord, send her away. She troubled us. Now, you got to catch this. And after enduring 12 knuckleheads, not letting her get to Jesus, she didn't stop there. She ain't let 12 knuckleheads stop her. Then when she get to Jesus, Jesus says, it's not meet for me to give that which is holy to the dogs. Now, if the 12 knuckleheads didn't stop you, being called a dog might have stopped a bunch of us. Who do you think you are? Do you know? I'm a Syrophoenician. She probably went, but she thought about it. I got a need that's greater than being called a dog. I got a need that 12 knuckleheads couldn't stop me, and you calling me a dog won't stop me neither. Yay, Lord. Check the response. Yay, Lord. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You insult me, I honor you. Yay, Lord. Master. Notice the words. A kind word turns back wrath. Notice the words. Notice the persistence. Notice that she didn't give up. What you going to do about it? Notice that Jesus said, I've not seen. He had to honor her for her faith. This hour, gone home, that daughter, that thing straight. Some of us haven't got the tenacity. We can't resist somebody say something bad about us. She had a problem, and that problem wouldn't allow her to go back home. What you gonna do about it? How many of us got problems that we know Jesus can solve? But somehow or another, we done got lackadaisical and done got scared and don't want to punch nobody, don't want to do nothing. So what you gonna do about it? You know, the fact of the matter is saints have the vantage point. You have the high ground. In war, the high ground means something. If you got the high ground, you can shoot down on folks. It's hard coming up a hill. But when you already there and folks trying to get to you, by the time they get there, they tired. We have the high ground. We have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as much as I might want to throw in the towel some days, I realize I got too much to live for. As much as I want to slap somebody, I have to remind myself that I'm a man of God. There are times when you want to just go off, blow your top. Oh, yeah. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all can say what you want, but when my little boy was wrestling one day, he hit a kid on the mat, and the man's father ran out there, and I ran right out there with him. And I'm like, what you about to do? He hit my son. Well, that's mine. How we going to handle this? What we going to do? What you going to do? And my wife's sitting out there like, and let me tell you, and thank God, because this was on a Sunday after church, first Sunday, and I had took the collar off, because normally, you know, I just had them little steel things sticking out in the front and the back. But that was my little boy. What you going to do about it? The devil got our sons hooked on drugs and locked in prison and all type of other stuff. And what you going to do about it? Everyone's standing. If you're called, you're chosen, you're anointed. To as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his word. That should make you feel good inside. Praise God, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Stop letting folks diminish you, or talk down to you, talk condescendingly to you because you somebody. When you got born again, you were born again with a gift. Amen. The gift of eternal life, if nothing else. That's a good starting point, right? And then, the scripture lets us know something. You know, God has to. He has to let you know who you are. So, yes, trials come. But they let you know what's in you, who you are, what you made of. And you know some, all your trials have already been pre-screened by God. He know you can get through them.